Hello there, you are warmly welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, joined this week by Graham Rodway and from Ireland, that absolute top-notch fella, great commentator, great judge and ardent Forest fan, very excitedly looking forward to their return to the Premier League, Justin O'Hanlon. Here's what we've got coming up on the show. Four races from Newbury on ITV on Saturday. Jumps fans have got three from Market Raisin on the box. And we've also got an ITV treat from Ireland with the Irish Oaks. So we'll get the boys' views on that. We'll see what else they fancy on a packed Saturday. And then there's also some decent fare on Sunday. A couple of Group 2s over at the Curry and Curragh even. And G-Rod has sorted out a couple. I probably said Curry because it's so hot. Going to get up to 40 degrees by the start of next week. Racing being brought forward to 10 a.m. It's all very strange. But in the meantime, let's focus on Saturday and we'll start with Newbury's 150. All the ITV fare is on the main channel this week. And the 150 is the Bet365 Stakes over a mile and two. It's registered as the Stevenson Stakes. Just the five runners, but as with pretty much all our TV races, very, very competitive. Best odds from racingpost.com at the time of recording are 13-8 Cadillac, 3 Grocer Jack, 7 Desert Encounter, 9 Tasman Bay and 10 Finest Sound. G-Rod, we'll start with you, my friend. First of all, are you in good nick? Are you confident going into the weekend? And are you going to kick us off with a winner here?
Yeah, I'm in great form, Bruce. Very much looking forward to the weekend. I'm off to Newmarket tomorrow. It should be a great day there. It's going to be boiling hot. You can't beat a nice summer Saturday at Newmarket. They have a run of them. And yeah, this is one of them. I must have been to this meeting so many times over the years, I've forgotten. It's a great weekend and I'm looking forward to it. And we're doing the 150, aren't we?
Yes, we are, please.
At Newbury.
Yeah,
that's it. Cadillac. Yeah, for... good old Kevin Philippon Defoy. I love the name, obviously, but Jessica Harrington trained this one until it was sold for $500,000 on the night of the Royal Ascot sale and went off favourite for the Wolverton last time out, finished second behind Dubai Future. He's got to carry a penalty for a listed win when he won at Leopardstown, but that was his best performance of the whole season and his career. He was very impressive when he won that night and... I think a reproduction of that form should be good enough. Even if he runs to his Ascot level, he's going to be very difficult to beat. And of course, young Foy has had him for a little bit longer now. So he's got a bit of a chance to maybe improve him. Be interesting to see what he can do with him. He's quite a promising young trainer, isn't he? Kevin Philippon Defoy.
Would you rather be called Graham Rodway or Kevin Philippon Defoy?
I'd definitely rather be called Kevin Philippon Defoy.
Would you?
Excellent. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
All right then, mate.
What a name.
Justin, kick us off with a winner, my friend. What have you got for us?
Yeah, I agree with Graham. Especially if a title and the riches came with the name Kevin Philippon Defoy, I think. I reckon Cadillac is probably the one to beat. Jesse stuck the blinkers on him at Leopardstown when he won that listed race in the Glencairn Stakes back in the beginning of June. From the race, I suppose mixed. Georgeville, who was runner-up, was well beaten last night at Leopardstown, but Charterhouse, who was third, came out and won a good handicap at Killarney during the week. He probably ticks most of the boxes here. I think on his best, he should be a bit better than these. And I think they've left the blinkers on him, which certainly seemed to have worked the trick on him the last twice, even though he was beaten at Ascot. But I think a repeat of either Leopardstown or Ascot runs will make him hard to beat here.
Excellent. Two votes, not just for Cadillac, but for Kevin Philippon Defoy being their preferred name. Let's move on to the 221 at Newbury. Stayers are out in force for the 2 mile half of Furlong Highclere Castle Gin Cup. It's a handicap and we've got 8 runners and it's competitive. 130 going on. 5 Diamond Bay, 5 Rishoon, 5 Rock Eagle, 7 Withhold, 8 Auriferous, and 9 Rainbow Dreamer, and the outsider is Gold Maze. And the winner is going to be Justin O'Hanlon.
Ascot form again coming into play here, Bruce. Rishoon was second in the Queen Alexandra, and probably maybe of even more import in this race is Going Guns fourth in the Ascot Stakes. Diamond Bay is one I had a sort of an eye on as well. If you put a gun to me, I might just go for him. Very good run at Salisbury the last day. Stays off the same mark here, 85 for being beaten a short head, which is probably rare enough. I might just prefer him of the principals.
Okay, well, in accordance with our commitment to responsible gambling, we certainly don't put guns to people's head and force people to have a bet. So Justin probably will pass on this, but if he was going to have a 50p bet, he'd go for Diamond Bay. Graham Rodway, you rate the flat stayers for Racing Post ratings. You're a handicapper, so this should be right in your wheelhouse, this race.
It really is, yes. It is right in my wheelhouse, Bruce. Yeah, I know these horses like the back of my hand. I've been watching them for the last year and a half. I rated the race last time that Diamond Bay, in which that horse was second behind Dancing Harrow, beaten a short head. I'll let you into my secret handicapper notes that I've written. It says winner made most of first run. Best horse almost certainly finished second in a tactical race. So, Diamond Bay, of course, was the horse that finished second. And I'm absolutely all over him tomorrow. He'd previously run behind Agaggio in a hot race, run at a real pace at Goodwood when Goshen went off a million miles an hour, got taken off for the lead and ran a huge race. I think Agaggio came out and won since. Diamond Bay almost won since. He's only beaten a short head at Salisbury. He was given a lot to do that day at Goodwood. And he's a pound lower here, racing off the same markers at Salisbury. Good to firm ground, suits him well. Yeah, looks good. Diamond Bay.
Okay, a tentative vote for Diamond Bay from Justin and a vehement vote for Diamond Bay from G-Rod. So they're in accordance for the first two races. Let's see if that continues on the 256 at Newbury. It's the Bet365 Hackwood Stakes, a Group 3 over 6 furlongs, 14 runners and 4-1 the field. So I'll be surprised if they go for the same horse, but you never know. Happy Romance is favourite at 4-1. Rohan is 11-2. It's 6-1 Minzar, 13-2 Man of Promise, 10-1 Diligent Harry, 12 Bar. Graham Rodway, take it away. Who do you like here?
I quite like one at a price here, Bruce. Jubawi Legend. Hugo Palmer and David Egan teaming up. David Egan obviously got something to prove now, having been dropped off a Mischief. Any poor old David Egan, that's a big ride to lose, isn't it?
Did you think that was harsh? I must admit, I backed him for the Eclipse, and I must admit, I was cursing the jockey afterwards. I know you always try and blame the jockey, but even in the cold light of day, I just don't see why. They build these race courses 50 metres wide and they all want to race down the same tiny little corridor. I mean, it just seemed unnecessary. But anyway, what do I know?
Particularly at Sandown as well, because it's not difficult to get on there outside, is it? It's quite a long straight as they turn into home, you know. And with a horse like Mischief, you know, he's just got one sustained run. He's relentless, isn't he? I always remember saying about Mischief, he puts his head down and goes, and not many horses can go with him once he does. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't his finest hour, was he? And he's paid for it, sadly. But hopefully he can get back on track here with Dubawi Legend. I'm going to take you back to last October. You know, this horse was beaten two lengths by a Native Trowel in the Dewhurst at Newmarket. Yeah, that form will be good enough to win this race, I think. Of course, it's not worked out for him this season. He was last in the Guineas. But he didn't run too badly last time out in the Jersey Stakes, back down to 7 furlongs. He got hampered halfway up the straight. And yeah, I just think that he's better than he was able to show that day. He was only beaten 6 1/4 lengths. He's dropping back again here to 6 furlongs. And I think that he is a sprinter. So I think we're going to see better from him here. Cheap pieces go on for the first time. Be interesting to see what they try and do with him tactically, whether they stick the cheap pieces on and go with him from the front. I think maybe that will be what they try and do. So, yeah, I think the dropping trip might just bring about Dubawi Legend's best form. And if he does show his best form, he must go very close.
Thank you, G-Rod. Yeah, I mean, while I don't think it was a great ride by David Egan at Sandown, it just shows how ruthless racing is. He's lost a really lucrative ride and that must hurt. And that's very tough for him. So, as you say, Jiro, let's see if we can bounce back here. Justin, are you going with Dubawi Legend as well?
Well, I think he asked Jiro which of these that he likes, and I can't really say to like any of them. There's plenty of
Something's got to win, Justin.
Something has to win, yeah, but there's a lot of these coming into the race with a bit to prove. I think I'd like to see a horse that's nice and progressive coming into a race like this. Rohan. Is one of those. That was a very decent performance that I want put in to win the Wokingham, and steps up in grade here. But I think he's been running in Group 2 and Group 3 company before that with a little bit of credit. But that was a fair step up at Ascot, and he could be the answer. I think there's question marks about a fair few of them, and I don't think there's too many question marks about him. So I think he could take the beating.
Righty-ho, Rohan for Justin O'Hanlon, and G-Rod goes for Dubawi Legend. Let's look at the 3:30 at Newbury now. It's the Weatherby Super Sprint over five furlongs. 98 grand to the winner, 21 runners. Important, by the way, to look at each ways here because there will be a big variance. And I'm looking on racingpost.com, and if you click on any runner when you're looking at best odds, not only do you get the best prices, but you also get the place terms. Lots of firms going five places. You might even get six in the morning. Your favourite at 9-4 is Maria Branwell after her excellent third in the Queen Mary at Royal Ascot. Rogue Spirit is 4-1 next, and then it's 13-2 Eddie's Boy, 8 Miami Girl, 8 Swift Asset, and 16 Bar. And I've got a trend for you here. Seven of the last 10 winners have been trained by someone called Richard. Richard Hannon's had four, and Richard Farr, he's had three. They're both represented here. Will it be a Richard or will it be someone else, Justin O'Hanlon?
Well, I think it's hard to get away from Maria Branwell, really. I think she probably won six, but a fast run five, which this is probably guaranteed to be. I think she's going to be hard to beat. I think, you know, people were putting question marks about her win in the National Stakes of Sandown against Crispy Cat, but I mean she answered that in spades with her good third in the Queen Mary, and of course Crispy Cat did his bit for the farm in the Norfolk Stakes as well. It's hard to get away from her, I think.
I can't argue with that. I mean, really good run at Royal Ascot as well. G-Rod, what do you think? Are you going to look beyond the fav?
Yeah, she's obviously going to be very difficult to beat. The horse that I think I'll back against her is Miami Girl. The problem here is that Maria Brownrail's already beaten Miami Girl at Ascot. She was two places ahead of her, and they were racing off level weights that day. And now, because of the weird conditions of this race, where it's based on the price, she's actually got to give her £5, I think. So, obviously, Miami Girl is going to have to have improved since to have any chance of reversing the form. But wins the last time out, I thought, was very impressive. And according to RPRs, we had her improving £3 from her Ascot run. So if she can take another step forward, I think she can definitely give Maria Branwell more to think about. And of course, she is about four or five times her price. So I think that is the key piece of form. I thought the Queen Mary is a very strong race this year, albeit Mayland and Sea, of course, was disappointing at Newmarket, but she pulled far, far too hard to have any chance of winning that race. And I think that we'll see that form upheld here, back over five furlongs. Of course, Mayland and Sea with six furlongs. Yeah, I think that's the key piece of form. But I'm going to just take a chance on Miami Girl each way rather than take the short odds on Maria Branwell.
Interesting also to see on racingpost.com right now that Richard Hannon Sr. is very confident that Swift Asset is the best of theirs and not Miami Girl. Okay, that is Newbury done. We're back with Market Raising in just a mo.
Don't miss the big kickoff in the Racing Post on Monday, July 25th. It's your best bet for the new season with unrivaled opinion from Racing Post Sport's top team of experts, plus all the odds and stats in the ultimate football guide. That's the big kickoff in the Racing Post on Monday, July 25th.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Justin O'Hanlon and Graham Rodway. Going to look ahead now to three ITV races on Saturday for Jumps fans up at Market Raisin where the going is good. The first of them is the 206. It's the Unibet Horse Race Betting Operator of the Year Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles and seven. 11-4 Fav for the Twister is, Sam Thomas Transistor and Sam Twist and Davis Rides. That's Galileo Silver. And then father and son combo, the John Joe O'Neills team up with the second Fav in Apache Creek. Also 4-1 Arthur Paddington, 5-1 Jersey Wonder, 13-2 Bar. Nice bit of summer jumping for you, G-Rod. Are you happy with that? Or would you rather just focus on the flat right now?
No, I like summer jumping, Bruce. I've been keeping a close eye on it this summer, actually, because I tend to, although I specialise in the stayers on the flat over the summer, I tend to specialise in the hurdlers over the winter. So I've been keeping a close eye on these hurdlers. And twice Arse Paddington has shown up on as a horse who finishes his races very strongly. If you look at the sectionals that are available on a lot of the websites now, he always comes home very powerfully. He's won his last three all over 2.5 miles, two of them at Market Raisin. And the way he finishes his races strongly suggests that he is going to be well suited by a step up 2.5 furlongs in trip here. Obviously, we know he loves the course. He's got 12 stones to carry, but usually in these long distance staying hurdles, they tend to go quite slowly and it develops into a bit of a sprint up the straight. I'm absolutely convinced that that will suit Ars Paddington because I know that he finishes fast. So, yeah, he's the selection.
Okay, Justy, do you enjoy a bit of summer jumping?
Oh, well, jumping's a 12-month is 12 months of the year over here, Bruce. So it's no objection to it at all.
Are you a flat man or a jumps man, if you have a preference?
I've always enjoyed good flat racing, but I'd be more of a jumps man than a flat man.
Jolly good, right then. In that case, no excuse.
Exactly what the best horse I ever saw to be a flat. It'll be a flat horse.
But, and who's that? Frankel.
El Gran Señor.
Oh, El Gran Señor, really?
Yeah.
Really, you'd have him above Frankel.
Oh, God, I have him above any horse I've ever seen in my lifetime, anyway, yeah.
He was some beast, wasn't he? I was a kid. We were both young then, weren't we? Blimey, when El Gran Señor was doing
14. I'll never forget seeing him at the Curragh when he beat Sadler's Wells in the Gladness Stakes and absolutely danced over him.
That's not bad form, that, is it? Yeah. El Gran Señor beating Sadler's Wells. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Right then, back to the 206 at Market Raisin.
I've no particular strong opinions about this race, taking into account what Graham said about Ars Paddington. Just think Galileo Silver, I've looked at him a couple of times, and he's probably a horse that's still ahead of the handicapper. It's just, you know, he the last time he won at Fastlass, he probably just was Dawson coming from the last, and he was only doing what he had to do to win. He could be still a horse as well ahead of the handicapper, and he's... you know, he could take a bit of beating here, but I wouldn't be, you know, I won't use the gun to the head reference again, but he wouldn't be one.
I think the wallet will stay shut for this.
Yeah, it'll stay shut. But,
well, we'll stick with you, Justy, for the 241 at Market Raisin, which is the Unibet 15 to go summer handicap hurdle over 2 miles, half a furlong, 11 runners, 23 grand for the winner and 4-1 the field. The favs are Cirque Royale and Galata Bridge, and then it's 8-1 caramelized. 10 Pisgah Pike and 11 Bar. Away you go, Justy. Come on, give us a winner.
Yeah, a bit of Irish interest here, Bruce. The top weight is Wolf Prince now, having his first run for Fergal O'Brien. Always thought he was a horse who wasn't that well handicapped over here. But despite that, he's racing actually off a higher mark in Britain than he was here. But on saying that, this is the sort of horses like this are very much the type of horse that I think he would be able to beat off a big weight. So he's certainly would be an each way play at 8 or 10 to 1. Peter Fahey is sending over a couple of horses tomorrow, and one of those is in this race. It's an interesting one called His Name Is Mr. Devitt, who won twice on the flat for John Fean last year. Versatile, he won on heavy ground, he won on good ground. Was probably unfortunate enough to run into a progressive horse of Gordon Elliott's at Roscommon in a maiden hurdle the last day, but they pulled a hell of a long way clear of everything else. And both of those would be each way plays in this race for me.
Funny enough, I backed him because we had Pordy Hassett on. You know Pordy, don't you? Very shrewd guy. He was on the show a few weeks ago and he tipped His Name Is Mr. Devitt. So I've had him in my tracker ever since, and I backed him the last day, as you say. And yeah, he ran well, but as you say, ran into one. Okay, interesting stuff there from Justy. G-Rod, what do you make of this race?
I like Galata Bridge in this one, who looks the best of the British, that's for sure. Richard Newland, Sam Twist and Davis. Yeah, last time out at Huntingdon, small field. Yeah, were very, very strongly, travelled very strongly through that race. Looked like the sort of horse who would be well suited by a big field, good pace. I think that he'll get that here. Fast ground suits him. Bred to be an absolute champion, of course, by a Golden Horn out of the Coronation Stakes runner-up, Infallible. So should be far too good for this lot over hurdles, you'd have thought.
Okay. And finally, at Market Raisin, it's the big one there. 3:14, Unibet Summer Plate. Handicap chase over 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs, 14 runners, 4-1 a field. Favourite is Mortlach. And then it's 6-1, Frankie did the Burley. 15-2, La Dominale. 8-1, Man of the Mountain. 9, Texard. 11, Bar. You can get 5 places from William Hill and Skybet. Everyone else is 4. Shop around for the best prices. Who's going to win this, Graham Rodway?
Yeah, I thought this was very difficult because, not least having said that I specialise in hurdles, this is obviously a chase race. I thought Kiehl's made quite a strong case for Man of the Mountain. I always remember Kiehl's telling me that he likes horses when he sees their official rating is dropping and their RPRs are increasing. Now, if you look at Man of the Mountain, that fits his profile. You see, its official rating has dropped from 143 to 138, but its RPRs are actually gone from 122 to 144. So I presume that's why Kiehl's has tipped it, and that's good enough for me.
Okay. Who are you going to go for, Justy?
Yeah, just interested about Man of the Mountain as well. He ran well the last day after first run after a wind-up, so that might be significant as well. It's a bit of a minefield. Plenty of horses coming to the race in form, which you like to see. Mortlach is on a five timer. I think La Dominiale's won two of his last three. Others fit that same bill as well. I think there's another one that Pipe Horse is on a hat trick as well, isn't it? Texard. One Irish runner is Peregrine Run, who at his best would pick these up and carry them, but he's 12 now. But I thought he showed very much signs of life when he was third to a very well handicapped horse of Willie Mullins in the Mayo National at Ballinrobe at the end of May. If he ran up that sort of form here at a price at 10 to 1, he certainly would be an each way play.
Ballinrobe is on my list of beautiful looking on the telly Irish courses that I want to visit. Is it nice?
It's great. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
What's the most picture? I mean, I've been to Killarney and I'm not sure that'll be beaten, but if I was going to do a little, say, a 3 or 4 day trip and taking a couple of nice country tracks, where would you recommend, Justin?
Ballinrobe would be high on the list. Downpatrick is
looks amazing. Roller coaster. Just looks up and down all the way around.
Well, yeah, but I remember the first time I went to Downpatrick was in the early 90s when the Troubles were still on, and it was absolute. It was a kip, as we would say here, but they really have transformed that place in the last 20 years. And I was there on Wednesday for the meeting there, and I was there first race was 3 o'clock. I was there at 1 o'clock, and the place was nearly packed at that stage.
Wow, brilliant!
Yeah, Richard Little is the racecourse manager there, and he does an absolutely unbelievable job.
Excellent.
He should have got the Curragh job, in my opinion.
Oh, grand. G-Rod, if you had an Irish track you wanted to visit, what would be the one you've never been to? Because you obviously ticked off Cartmel recently, which is probably our most picturesque course, isn't it? But is there one on Ireland when you're looking on the telly and think, oh, that looks lovely, I must go there?
That's right, I've been to a few in Ireland, yeah. I would like to go to Killarney.
Yeah, that's brilliant. There. You've got to go, I've been there.
Looks lovely.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Beautiful. And a lovely town as well. It's fantastic. Mm. You must go to Killarney. Definitely.
I love going racing, you know, and then you get those nice little towns and you can just go and, you know, have a wander around the town and it turns into a nice day, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it's super. They've got great pubs in there and they've all got the racing on the telly and everything. I love Killarney. You can't beat it. Right then, loads more to come, including the Irish Oaks.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Justin O'Hanlon and Graham Rodway. Let's look now at the classiest race of the weekend. It takes place at 3:45 at the Curragh on Saturday. It's the Judmont Irish Oaks. Over a mile and a half, Emily Upjohn with Frankie back in the saddle is favourite at 1-2. And then it's 4-1 Magical Lagoon. 16-1 Emily Dickinson. Two Emilies in the race, so watch your bets. 18 Claire de Goat. Oh, you're going to rinse me for this, aren't you?
I'll take over there.
Claire de Goat.
Carja Gajol.
What does it mean?
Carja's friend.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the full pronunciation is.
Something to do with friend. As long as it's not Irish for Emily, we're okay. 20 history, 20 toy, 50 Finella, 50 Show of Stars. Justin, is the Fav a good thing to atone for a slow start and agonising defeat at Epsom?
Ah, she should be, you would think. I don't think it's going to be a complete non-event. There are a couple in the race with a chance if she doesn't if she's not quite up to her Epsom form, but a reproduction of the Epsom run should be more than good enough. Against her is Magical Lagoon, good winner of the Ribblesdale, good tough filly. She'll certainly run her race. And the one that you struggled with there, Carja Gajol, is won her last two, and she's another good tough filly. Won her beat Boundless Ocean in a listed race, the King George Cup there at Leopardstown at the beginning of June. Boundless Ocean, Frank that farm came out and won the Mel Stakes there at Leopardstown last night. Has a sort of similar profile to the filly that Geraldine's won the Oaks with 2 years ago. Even so, you know, I think she's very, very capable of a big run, and you know, could be one to put in the forecast. But all things considered, if Emily Upjohn runs up to Repsom form, she's going to be, I think she's going to be, she'll be a bridge too far for the opposition here.
What do you think, Giro? Do you concur? How far will Emily Upjohn win by?
Yeah, no, I think she'll win, don't you? I mean, I'm probably a little bit guilty of underestimating her going into the Oaks. She performed tip-top on the day. Was unlucky not to win, wasn't she? There was actually not that much between Tuesday and her the whole way throughout the race.
Guilty of underestimating. You absolutely trashed her.
I don't know, Trouser. I think I said she should be 5-1 and that Nashua should be shorter. I actually think Nashua might still be the better filly of the two, but Nashua definitely didn't stay the trip in the Oaks. Obviously, she's come out and won the French Oaks since, hasn't she, over a mile and a quarter. So I don't think you'll see Emily Upjohn back at a mile and a quarter. She looked like a strong stayer, didn't she? I don't think she was as unlucky as a lot of people said in the Oaks. I mean, she was quite close up to Tuesday. If you were to track their progress throughout the whole race, I don't think there was more than a length between them at any stage of the race. And she ended up finishing a shorter behind, and nevertheless she did of course finish the race a lot stronger than Tuesday to make up that length and almost get her on the line. I thought the best horse finished second at Royal Ascot. I thought that Sea Silk Road was unlucky not to beat Magical Lagoon in the Ribblesdale, so I couldn't be considering her to beat Emily Upjohn, and it's double figures on the rest of them. So yeah, I think the favourite will win. I don't suppose Justin's calling this one, is he?
No, they wouldn't. God, they wouldn't let me loose now.
Don't do yourself down, Justin. Why not?
When Justin's commentating on a race that I've had a bet on in Ireland, I always feel very calm. You know, when I heard Justin's voice come on,
yeah,
you know, it's a very calm voice, and I
lovely
think,
voice, beautiful.
I always think, oh, I've got this bet in this one, and I'm a little bit uptight, a little bit excited, and Justin's voice come on, it just calms me down. I'm like, no, everything's going to be all right. Justin's calling this one, and it will come up home in front.
I know exactly what you mean. I know it's very lovely. very silky tone.
We'll get you everywhere, boys. So. This flattery will get you everything.
Absolutely. One day, Justin, you'll be getting these classics, mate. Don't worry about that. We have done the 8 ITV races on Saturday. There is so much to get stuck into aside of that. We've got the undercards at Newbury, the Curragh and Market Race. We've got Newmarket July, where G-Rod is in action. Or not in action, in attendance. I hope he's not in action. We've got Ripon, we've got Cartman, we've got Chester, we've got Doncaster, we've got Haydock. So, do not give your Saturday nap away, chaps, but tell us anything else away from the TV cameras that you think the listeners should have a couple of quid on. We'll start with you, G-Rod.
Yeah, I just had to remind myself, even though you did, that I must not give away my nap here. Yeah, yeah. So in the 1:35 at Market Race...
You've been doing
Raisin,
these shows for 7 years.
I know, but it's so difficult. I get so excited. You know, it's okay. Hard to... the 1:35 at Market Raisin, there's only three runners in it, but Sure Touch, I thought, should win that race. He was very, very impressive when winning a maiden hurdle last time out at Newton Abbot. I'm not entirely sure how they're going to bet here, but I reckon that maybe Let Me Be might be a little bit shorter than him in the market, and that'll be all wrong if that's the case. He's miles clear on Racing Post rating, Sure Touch, trained by Eddie Murphy. He actually ran a Grade 2 bumper back in his early days, so he just looks a class apart in the first at Market Raisin. As long as he's not odds on, I'll be backing him to kick off the day. And then I've got a couple at Newmarket. One's my nap, though, so the not my nap is the 2:51 at Newmarket, where I'll be, as you say. There's a horse there called, now I think you're supposed to call it Bass Player, but to my eyes it looks like
why wouldn't you're supposed to call it Bass Player.
Is it Bass? What else? Well, to my mind, it looks like Bass Player, you know, like the fish bass.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be, would it? Because a bass is a musical instrument, so there is such a thing as a bass player.
Oh, right, so you don't spell bass, B-A-S-E, then? That's how you spell bass, is it?
Yes, it is. It's all about the bass. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Ace of bass, yeah.
Right, yeah, okay. So Bass Player in the 2:51 at Newmarket, and it looks an absolute character, this horse, but he has got loads and loads of ability. Now, they ran it in a listed race behind Ever Given, and it did everything wrong at Epsom, messed up the start, was right out the back, hung left coming down the hill, and then absolutely flew home to finish third. I think he actually even got Eyecatcher in the race comments. And then last time out they ran it at Newmarket, same track that we're at, the July course, in the Criterion Stakes, and again behind, looked awkward, but then absolutely flew home, hanging badly left up the straight. Now, these are listed in Group 3 races that he's been running in, and running eye-catching races. He's dropping into a handicap here, albeit a Class 2 one, off top weight. He's only had three runs. I know what's going to happen. Like, I know there's the potential that he could run all over the place and he might miss the start and all that. But surely on pure ability, base player must have a huge chance in the 251 at Newmarket.
Thank you. Justin, you're obviously a master, not just a great commentator, but a great impressionist. Which race course does G-Rod run at there in a G-Rod voice, please?
Newmarket.
Newmarket.
He's an horse running at Newmarket.
He certainly is. What have you got for us, Justy?
I'll concentrate on the Coral tomorrow, Bruce, if you don't mind.
Please do.
The opening race there is a two-year-old maiden, which is at 1:30, which is probably going to be a hot race, but Jim Bulger has one there called Young Ireland, who I saw running at Nace back at the beginning of the month. Was the pick of the paddock, and he ran a lovely race, finished third in a good maiden behind a good colt of good Ballyd Oil colt called August Rodan. I think he'll take a bit of a beating in that opener without giving the nap away.
Okay.
Then to the next race, the second race of 203, which is the Anglesey Stakes, and that looks an absolute cracking race between mostly, I think, surrounding Little Big Bear, the Norfolk winner, or the Windsor Castle winner, rather, and a filly of Geraldine's called Slana Walia, who created a very, very nice impression when she won a six furlong maiden at the Curran Derby weekend. That looks, Little Big Bear is going to be an odds on, but I think that looks a cracking contest.
He's evens right now, you know.
Okay, he's 5-6, I'm looking at, but evens, yeah, okay. But it looks a cracking good contest, that. And then go to the last race at 5:25, which is a three-year-old and upward filly's maiden, and one that catches my eye here is a filly of Gavin Cromwell's called Musical Rhapsody, who hasn't run yet, but I thought created a lovely impression when she ran and won a barrier trial at Dundalk last week. I was up there for those, and she's a homebred Holy Roman Emperor filly, and that race is over a mile. She's one to keep an eye on in the market, certainly, and I think she's one who will win races in the future if it's not tomorrow.
Justin, can you just explain to everyone what a barrier trial is, please?
I suppose the best comparison I can think of is it's a flat version of a point to point. They've only been around in Ireland enough. This is the fourth year of them. And they're basically trial races, as the name suggests, but they're sort of nursery races for unraced 2 and 3 year olds.
Can you bet on them?
No.
Okay.
Because there's no weights and there's no
there's no colours or anything. No.
No, there is colours. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm the commentator at these events as well, and a lot of good horse Group 1 winners have made their first their initial steps in some of these barrier trials over the last couple of years, likes of Thunder Moon and won a barrier trial there. A couple of other Group 1 winners have won there as well. And
I've got another question for you as well, Justin, a slightly more frivolous one. Why are some Irish commentators, and I don't know whether you fall into this trap as well, so obsessed with the final 150 yards? You don't get that over here, but on Irish races, it's so common for the commentator to say, into the final 150 yards. Have you ever noticed that, G-Rod? And I just never got the significance of 150 yards.
No, I can't say I've noticed that.
Now you've heard it, you won't unhear it.
But I'm going to look out for it. The other thing that gets me about Irish commentary that I find quite amusing is, you know when the fella from, I think it's Racing TV, isn't it, now that's got it, when he throws over to the Irish commentator, it's like nobody says anything until they actually jump off. Whereas when in Britain, like they throw to
banter,
the commentator,
don't they?
Yeah, they have a, you know, the commentator says, oh, well, this one went down well, and there's one to go, and then he talks you through the early stages. Whereas in Ireland, you know, Tom Stanley, for example, will throw over to Ireland, and then nobody says anything until the race actually jumps off, and then you get, they're off.
Yeah.
I can answer that one for you.
Here we go.
The UK commentary setup the commentator has a direct line to what's being said in the RTV studio, and we don't.
Oh, okay, so you just don't hear it.
We don't actually know when the...
And what about the final 150 yards then?
Well, inside the final furlong, the 150-yard, 100-yard, and 50-yard markers are all there.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's the same in the UK. It's not something
else. No, we don't have that.
We have it on golf courses,
but not races.
We do have that. Yeah, we have that here. So that's
okay. Cool. Oh, fair enough.
I tell you, I've learned more about Irish commentary today than I have in my whole life.
It's good, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant. Right, let's move on to Sunday before we get the weekend naps. They're racing Ur the Styx at Stratford and Newton Abbot in England, as well as Redcar. Tipperary has a jumps fixture, and the Curragh has an 8-race card feature and a couple of Group 2s. So I'll start with you, Justin. I would imagine your Sunday sights are set on the Curragh.
Oh, I'm actually going to Tipperary on Sunday.
Oh, Bruce, okay.
For my sins. There's two good Group 2s. Order of Australia is the star turn in the Minstrel Stakes. Interestingly enough, he won the race last year, but he had a Group 1 penalty when he won last year. He doesn't have it this time around. And he's pretty absurdly well in at the weights against most of these, so he should win. And the other one is the what is the other one?
The other one is the 355. Yeah, the Kilboy Estate Stakes, as you say.
Yeah,
pretty Who's strong. Gonna win that?
Pretty strong English challenge for this race with
Stouty.
Stout sent over Potapova, I think. Probably Haggis's Purple Pay looks very much the one to beat there. Probably ran a little bit below her best in the Pretty Polly at the Curragh on Derby weekend, but she was fifth, beaten 4.5 lengths. But God, if she's able to repeat that, she might even be good enough to win this. I think she's good. She's pretty hard to overlook there.
Okay, and G-Rod, you've sussed a couple for us on Sunday, haven't you?
Yeah, there's a couple that I fancy at Redcar. When I saw the running order, I was like, what do they want tips from me from Sunday for? And then I thought, well, I'll put some effort in. So, I looked at Redcar, and the 3:15 at Redcar, Mick McHugh runs in that race over 7 furlongs. And if you watch the race back on the Racing Post website at Doncaster the last time, you don't have to watch the whole race. You can just watch the end. This looks absolutely flies in the last 50 yards. I reckon if there'd been another furlong that race, he might have won it. He was only 5 lengths behind the winner, or it'd be only 2 home. He's done all of his racing over 5 and 6 furlongs, Mick McHugh, but he definitely shaped like he wanted 7 furlongs. He might even get a mile, you know. And that was off 65. He started his handicap off 72. He's 62 now, so he's £10 lower than starting off. I think that he's seriously going to be well handicapped when he goes up in trip, which he does on Sunday to 7 furlongs. And I think he'll even win over a mile in time. And the other one is another one that's stepping up in trip in the 4:25, which has not been declared.
Right. Well, do you want to get so much point tipping that one, is there?
No.
We've got the big build up and it's not running. Oh, well, I'll tell you what, I think I did detect some enthusiasm about your nap. So without further ado, let's get the boys' bets of the weekend.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Graham Rodway. What have you got?
Yeah, it's obviously at Newmarket in the 3:57. It's running in one of the staying races, which we've already mentioned, our handicap. And I like the look of Charging Thunder. Now, it hasn't escaped my attention that William Buick isn't bothering to go anywhere else than Newmarket on Saturday. He's got, I think, a full book of rides, and I reckon that he's going to boot home at least 2, maybe 3 winners there. It could be even more. I bet there's a few William Buick accumulators the bookmakers take at Newmarket on Saturday afternoon. He appears to have loads of good chances. Of course, he's on a few good Godolphin horses as well there, and they've got a great record there. But anyway, the 3:57, Charging Thunder. Last time out, I didn't actually handicap this race. I left this one to my apprentice, Robbie Wilders, who is also a regular on the show, isn't he? Now, when I saw how he'd handicapped this race earlier, I wasn't best pleased because I definitely wanted to tip Charging Thunder. And I had to have a quick look and make a few adjustments because I think that he got a little bit too low last time out. Charging Thunder, we've got him running to a mark of 99. I think if I had handicapped that race, it might have been a bit more like 104. I reckon it's about 4 or 5 pounds shy. So I've given Charging Thunder a little bit extra because he won by a length and a half. They went no pace in the race, and he put a lot of distance between himself and the second, Throne Hall, in a short space of time off a very slow pace. And it's not easy to do that. You know, if you imagine that you're in a race and you're going along slowly and then you sprint up the straight, there's probably not going to be that much distance between you and the rest, unless you're racing Usain Bolt, of course. And I reckon that maybe Throne Hall came into the Usain Bolt of the equine world here in Charging Thunder. He's only up £4 for winning that race. And I think that he's going to go very well up to a mile and 6 furlongs. I think in the spotlight coming, it says, you know, he disappointed and he's won run over a mile and 6. But, yeah, he's won over a mile and 5. What's that? What's an extra furlong when you're up at a mile and 5, mile and 6? It's nothing, is it?
No, I agree with you. Everyone gets far too hung up on trips in racing. Massive.
Well, at that sort of distance, yeah, it's like over jumps.
I think they do. I think they do at all distances. You get all these, do you remember that debate about Paco Boy? Oh, he's a 6.5 furlong.
Yes.
Ridiculous. Okay, so Charging Thunder. I think you can't elaborate on that case, G. Rod. That's very comprehensive. And Justin, you've been waiting patiently to give us your nap. What is it?
Well, I've chosen a handy race for my nap, the Paddy Power Scurries at the Curra tomorrow, which only has 17 runners, a cavalry charge of a sprint. I fancy a horse called Nordic Passage, trained by Johnny Levins, who couldn't have his horses in better form at the moment. He's a horse who appreciates a stiff 6 furlongs. Here we go again with the trip thing. But and is basically acts on any ground. He has a length, and he came back to form when he was second in another competitive Curra handicap the last day behind a horse called Coom Shingon, who reopposes here. But given everything, given the form of the stable and the stick of the cheap pieces on him again tomorrow, he certainly is an each way play at a price of around 11 and 12 to 1. I think he'll go very close in that.
Nordic Passage. Brilliant. Okay, gents, what's the weekend hold? Justin, you're off to Tipperary on Sunday. What are you going to do Saturday?
I'm at the Curra tomorrow.
Grafting away both days, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
Lovely stuff. Who's going to win the golf before you go?
Well, I have two players back, Fitzpatrick and the Korean-Australian Lee Min-woo, who's actually doing pretty well at the moment.
Jolly good. G-Rod, when we talked in the office on Wednesday, you said, right, my technique for tipping the winner is to go down the list and back the first player I've never heard of. So I called all the players out to you, didn't I? And we got to Homer and you went, that's it, I've never heard of him, Max Homer.
It's like the one that hits me, like, I don't know that. And then suddenly when you start to think about it, you think, I've heard of him. But it's not been a very successful technique so far because Max Homer played in a group yesterday, didn't he? And they were about 10 over after about 10 holes, weren't they, between them?
Fitzpatrick and Woods, wasn't he? So he can't win, so you're going to have a reload or sack it off?
I wish I'd back Dustin Johnson because he's leading at the moment. But, I probably will have another go. Not sure. What am I doing this week? I'm going to Newmarket on Saturday. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Yes.
But, Sunday I'll obviously be watching the golf. Yeah, this is one of the great weekends of the summer, isn't it?
It certainly is. And don't forget, guys, if you want to, you can watch it on Sky, and rather than listen on Sky, you can join myself and Steve Palmer on YouTube from 2:30 for Sweet Spot Live. We'd love you to join us for that. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening. Good luck with all your bets. Enjoy the sunshine. And we're back on Monday reviewing the action. And next Friday, there's St. George and Queen Elizabeth Diamond Stakes at Ascot. So do please join us for that. Bet responsibly. Have a fantastic weekend.